You're listening to The Naked Scientists. In just a moment, we'll be finding out how the natural light entering a building can be controlled to save energy. But first, we joined Mira St. Thillingham, who's been out in London this week, in search of another way to make buildings more efficient.
In the UK today, 40 to 50% of our energy is consumed by buildings. And buildings that use air conditioning typically use double the amount of energy as ones that don't. But one way to reduce this consumption is by designing naturally ventilated buildings, which don't need air conditioning to keep them cool. So this week, I'm at the School of Slavonic and Eastern European Studies on the campus of University College London. In 2005, this building was constructed and designed as a low-energy building. So with me this week is one of the senior researchers that helped design the building, and that's Sean Fitzgerald from the BP Institute. So, Sean, this building was designed to have natural ventilation. What does this mean exactly, and why does it help keep a building cool?
A naturally ventilated building is one which is trying to use the forces of nature to get air from within the building to without, and to actually distribute the air within that building as well. So we're looking at wind and buoyancy as the primary driving forces. A mechanically ventilated building uses fans, and a mechanically ventilated building would typically have one where the windows are not openable, so you have to use fan power throughout the year. And when you look at the amount of energy that we're using with fans compared to wind and buoyancy, the numbers are staggering.
So we're outside the building now, and just looking at it, it's reasonably large, and it's got four what look like metal chimneys on the top. So what are these as part of the design?
So the chimneys on the front of the building here that we're looking at are exhaust chimneys. They are there to try and allow the hot air that's been generated within the building to be extracted. And it's using, in this case, mainly buoyancy to drive that air. Those chimneys are to remove the hot air and then the odours associated with that hot air in the building.
So as well as these chimneys that are located on the top of the building, what else has been incorporated into the design of this School of Slavonic Studies to keep the airflow moving?
Well, one of the big challenges with a building in the middle of a city is the intake air. And the intake air has got two challenges associated with it. One is if you open vents at low level, there is an ingress of noise from a noisy street such as the one we're on. And secondly, it's to do with air quality. And the fumes from taxis and cars can be easily drawn into buildings. So if you can create openings at high level and bring the fresh air in from high level, you can help overcome both of those challenges. 20 metres up in the air, 25 metres up in the air, the actual sort of dirty air syndrome isn't as significant as it is down at street level. In this particular building, the air intake path at high level feeds an atrium, and the atrium itself is large relative to some of the other chimneys that we've got around the perimeter of the building. So the air intake path is through the centre of the building, and this is to help provide acoustic treatment of that air just using the natural fabric of the building. It's just glass.
So we're just going to move inside now to have a look at this atrium and understand a bit more about how it works. So we have entered the building now, and there is a central atrium, which is very large, running through the core of the building. It's six stories high, and the shape is an equilateral triangle, of which the sides are probably about 5 to 6 metres long. So, Sean, this is a very large atrium.
It's a wonderful centre of the building, architecturally, and it provides a number of functions as well. Firstly, you'll notice that the daylight provision within the middle of the building is significant, but it's not bright, direct sunlight. It's a background diffuse radiation, so it's a really lovely sunlight that you're getting into the building. But obviously the second function that we cared about as engineers is that this is the air source for the building. And you'll see that around the perimeter of the atrium, on every floor, there are a number of openable windows. And if you look closely, those openable windows have got a chain attached to them and a motor. So these are motor-driven actuators to control the amount of opening area between the atrium and each of the occupied spaces, the offices and the library.
How does this atrium and the chimneys on top of the building all now just work together in order to keep cool air flowing through this building?
The building ventilation works primarily because there is heat being generated within the library and the offices through lights and IT equipment and people. So the heat that is generated from that source will ensure that any fresh air that comes into the space is reduced in density. It then therefore becomes buoyant, and it will then rise out through the perimeter chimneys, the chimneys that are around the backside of the building here. And we now have a U-tube effect where fresh air is being pulled in through the middle of the atrium at external temperature conditions, in through these windows, where it is then heated, and the hot air then rises out through some of the chimneys that we saw out through the front of the building. So it's using the heat within the building to actually generate the airflow, and the airflow itself managing the temperature build-up within the building.
Now, there are actually sensors in the building as well that are in action in order to help control just how many things need opening. So what sensors are they, and what are they looking at?
The sensors in this building are temperature and carbon dioxide. The challenges of ventilating a building are to make sure that there's enough fresh air coming in. So the proxy that we use is CO2 level within a building. And the second function is to make sure that it doesn't get too hot in the building. And both of those parameters, internal temperature and carbon dioxide levels, are used by a control system to regulate the amount of opening area of these openable windows that we have.
Now, we are in London, so it doesn't actually get hot that much during the year. So it's generally colder than it is hotter. So what about during winter? What about when the weather's cold outside?
When the weather's cold outside, the same strategies are deployed for this building. But as the fresh air comes in through this atrium, you'll notice that in front of all of the opening windows, there is a radiator. So the radiator in this building is being used to preheat the incoming air. But on a moderately cold day, most of the heat being delivered to that air will be by the lights, the heat, the people, and the IT equipment.
Now, this building did open back in 2005, so have there been any other newer buildings being developed which are slightly better designed?
One of the things that's effectively been the Achilles heel of these wonderful naturally ventilated buildings is the fact that we've been using radiators to preheat the incoming air. But when one looks at the amount of heat generated within modern buildings, we find that it's considerable and easily enough to maintain the interior at an adequate level of, say, 21 degrees C for all but the very coldest days. And that technology will allow naturally ventilated buildings to have even lower energy consumption levels than the ones such as this exemplary building that we're in today.
That was Sean Fitzgerald from the BP Institute in Cambridge talking to Mira Cynthia Lingham.